Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
AM The Fan. We are everywhere on the radio.com app. Look for us. We're right in between the Wendy's Big Show and Charlie's TikTok Tips. We're all over the radio.com app, free to download, free to listen to. I want you guys to listen to as we break down Buccaneers 38, Packers 10 with you. Plenty of time to jump in. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Ryan Wood's going to join us, PackersNews.com, in about 20 minutes, but we got time for you. Want to have you listen to Rodgers talk about his interceptions. So what happened on that first interception? This was the interception that Jamel Dean ran back for a pick six. Aaron Rodgers?
I haven't had a lot of those over the years, but the wind was blowing pretty good right to left. Like I said, I felt good about the spot. I knew he was tight. We fit throws like that. I missed my spot by probably a foot or so. And the kid made a good play.
The wind was blowing right to left. Okay, so wind was a factor. Rodgers talked about his next interception, and then there was a pass to Mercedes Lewis. They were down 14-10. It was over the middle. Looked like it would have got there with either a quicker tight end or a better throw, but Rodgers had a different explanation for that one, too.
Same thing kind of on both. The wind was blowing hard from right to left. Again, I felt good about both throws. The one that obviously I just missed a foot inside, and when you're playing a corner with tight coverage, you can catch. Yeah, that unfortunately happens. The one of Mercedes, I didn't have a great look at where it was at. I feel like I was maybe getting hit, but I felt good about the throw, and looking back on it, I think the wind might have just took it a little bit. Unfortunately, that would have been a nice pickup there.
So the wind, Aaron Rodgers, building an MVP campaign, 16-year pro, can't figure out that nasty, nasty wind. I don't know. I think I'd rather hear that they were practicing awfully than blame it on the wind. Does that bother you as much as it bothers me? Guys throwing interceptions, talking about the wind.
I mean, it was windy as all hell, though.
He stared Devontae down.
He
talking
did.
About the wind.
He did. I mean, his eyes were on him the entire time. You could have read that and picked it off. So, after a loss, that doesn't bother me as much as the practice thing. You know, the practice
Bob
thing.
Bob Seger's so good, dude. Like, it makes me so emotional.
Bob Seger.
Oh, my God.
You know what makes me emotional?
The Packers sucking.
Yeah. You know, because, like, this is the year, it's just, I want to believe, like, every year I go through this, though, where I have to almost, like, defend that they're a good team to myself and to everybody else. And I get up for these matchups. Like last year, San Francisco. This year, Brady versus Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they just pee down their leg. And it's so frustrating.
Well, the game-watching experience, too. Again, if you're going to wait all week for a game, 2 weeks, and you sit down and they're up 10-0, and it's pretty fun, and then there's a couple of interceptions. Okay, we're down 14-10. They have a drive. It doesn't go anywhere. They score. The Buccaneers do on the very next drive. It's 21-10.
Mm-hmm.
By halftime, you knew this game was done.
I just wanted it to be a close game. I mean, that was my whole day right there. I'd look forward to that literally since the schedule was released.
Now, this was like the game that was drafted first by Fox.
Yeah.
To show, because you're like, oh, Buccaneers, Packers, that's going to be Monday night or Sunday night. No, Fox got it in their national window. They pushed all the other games. There were only two games in the afternoon yesterday.
The Jets and
then
and
they get into prime time because that's when you want those big-time ratings. They're thinking it's going to be a fourth-quarter battle, Brady Rodgers. Tim Boyle's out there fumbling the football, and then Blaine Gabbert comes out there.
Yeah, and then I need the over. And then I need the over. And Tampa Bay, I'm like, you know what? You already beat the hell out of us. Just score again and just let me hit the over. And they get it into the goal line situation, and then Blaine Gabbert takes a knee. And that's when I just wanted to rip everything out of my walls and break it all. I'll say one positive from yesterday is that it was a 10-0 game at one point. I don't think that Tampa Bay and Tom Brady are the team to beat in the NFC. I do think that if you play that game 10 more times, I do think that the Packers could maybe win 6 or 7 of them. And I don't think the NFC's – I mean, you look at San Francisco, like last night they beat the Rams, so maybe we overhyped the Rams a little bit, although that was a really nice win for San Francisco. You know, you already beat the Saints. You did it at third place on the road, granted, with no Michael Thomas. So it's not like all these teams are – you know, it's not like I'm going to drop the Packers down to, like, number 15 on my power rankings. It was just I wanted them to get up for a big game, you know, because they just – when's the last time they won a really big game? Yeah, Seattle in the playoffs, okay. But that Seattle team, I would argue they're much better this year, even though they lost Jadeveon Clowney. I think they got much better, especially at the safety position.
I keep Twitter open during the show. I've got TweetDeck up, and I'm just looking at what common trends are, what common themes are. Some good tweets coming in along the way, too. Michael says you can't play behind the sticks at 3rd and 10. That corner was sitting on that route. We got to play in front of the sticks. Can't have 3rd and longs. Wild Dime says, I'm not just depressed over this game. They played bad, but it's not the same as San Francisco. Good teams lose games. I'm still confident in our team. So he's a little more positive by that one. Sheet says, hate to say it, but this offense bogs down when Devontae's out there. Yeah. Rodgers force feeds him. A lot of you guys are saying that. There's a lot also that are saying, hey, oh, no, now the Packers can't go undefeated. Oh, no, that, you know, overreaction to one loss. Packers have not lost a lot of games in the last couple of years, but when they have, it's been a very similar loss. It's getting beat early, getting punched early, as we say, and then not having the will to make a comeback. That's the problem, I think. When you look at LaFleur's losses, outside of his first one against the Eagles last year, you go down early to the Chargers, you just don't look like the same team. LaFleur comes into the press conference room, says, oh, I got to coach better. Rodgers comes in, says we had a bad week of practice. It's the same thing. When they lose, it's the same thing every time. The other team exploits them, gets a little physical, and then we, like, go into our shell.
Well, right. And so, again, what I said before the break is what drove me nuts yesterday. Rodgers was getting hit. He was getting destroyed in the second half. You didn't make any adjustments. It was like Mike McCarthy's offense all over again. All right, Aaron, we're down 2 scores. Bring us back. And that's just not this offense right now. Again, I love Aaron Jones, and I hate when people are like, well, the injuries, I wouldn't want to pay him, he's too small. But yesterday was not an Aaron Jones-type day. Yesterday, when you're playing against a team like Tampa Bay, you need like a Derrick Henry-type back. You really do, and you have that now. A.J. Dillon, 31 yards, 5 carries. That's 6 yards a pop. Jamal Williams, 34 yards on just 4 carries. That's almost 9 yards a pop. And I get you're playing from behind, but at that point, Rodgers is getting killed. He's getting hit. They blitzed him 17 times. Run the football. You can't abandon the run in this league. Look what San Francisco, they've went down multiple scores. Last year, the game against the Saints when they're down, the game that ends up being a shootout. You have to continue to run the football if you're you know, if that's your identity. And so that was my problem, is yesterday, Aaron Jones with the 10 carries, like, it wasn't his day. So give the ball to A.J. Dillon. I know he's only a rookie. Let Jamal run the ball a little bit more, because Jamal wasn't doing anything else. He was terrible in pass protection yesterday. He missed at least 3 blocks that got Rodgers hit. Maybe 2. I got to go back again. But just frustrating. The game plan, everything, both LaFleur and Mike Pettine. And I love LaFleur, but yesterday's second half adjustments just weren't there.
Carl is on the south side. He dialed 414-799-1250.
799-1250
to Fan. Yeah, baby. What's up, Carl?
Hey, fellas. What's going on this morning?
Well, we're talking about a Packers loss thanks to our friends at Robert Hack Diamonds, where they pay green for your gold.
Uh-huh. I like that, the way that you mix that in there.
You're
Listen,
welcome.
Listen, fellas, let's not overreact. The Packers are 4-1. I think that we are who we are. we understand this. If I had to go ahead and blame shift somewhere, I would just throw it at the head coach. Right when we were 10 up, that was a perfect opportunity to run the ball. We got a little too cute. We're trying to pass, go pass crazy. After Rodgers did the whole Hotchberry, whatever the heck that was, off Key and Peele, which I thought was great. I thought that we kind of just spiraled downhill. I think that we started to smell ourselves a little bit, and we didn't run the ball effectively. And that goes into my next point. As I told Ryan last week, I said this is why I wouldn't pay Aaron Jones that money. You cannot use him. He's not an every down back. I'm sorry. I don't want to play into the whole emotions of it all, but this guy, he's not strong enough to get you where you need to be against big defenses like that. Dominican Sue and those boys is punking us, and that's just what it was. You guys also talked about something as far as, like, bringing in Antonio Brown. I said this plenty of times. If you bring in Antonio Brown, we're automatic Super Bowl contenders. Because
I thought of you when I said it.
Exactly. I bet you did. But, listen, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham is up for trade. I wouldn't fight against bringing both of them in. I wouldn't fight against bringing both of them in because Odell wants out of Cleveland. It's apparent. And Antonio Brown needs a job, and he needs a quarterback that's going to get him the ball. The only issue is I think Aaron Rodgers can do it, but it's he has to want to do it. Just like when Adams goes out, he spreads it around. But for some odd reason, when Adams is back, I don't know if Adams is always up in his face chirping like, hey, I need the ball or something. But he does not spread the ball around. Case in point, it's our culture. As a fan base, this fair-weather fan base that we have in Wisconsin, I'm going to speak on from what Trill said, but I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. It's the fan. It's the culture. Us as fans, man, we want to win. We expect to win because we have a Hall of Fame quarterback. But we don't want players because they're cancers and they're divas. I hear all this crap from you guys. It's sickening. This is why nobody wants to play up in this daggone crap of a town because of these fans. I'm telling you now, man, these young guys don't want to come here because you guys are stuck in the mud, Brett Favre loving, honky-tonk. Nobody wants to hear that crap, bro. Y'all need to get out of that daggone shadow that you guys have been living in this whole time of the 90s being the greatest era. It's time to move forward.
The 90s were pretty great, though. The 90s were pretty
great. We had 1 year in the 90s, man. 1 year.
But, like, the 90s as a whole was pretty great time.
Whatever, man. Like, man, the 90s, back when Raw was on, maybe WWF.
Anything, Carl.
We need some attitude up on this daggone team. And I'm telling you now, bro, the way that we're going as a group, as a collective, Wisconsin in general, we're soft. We got to look ourselves in the mirror and understand we are the handsome young man that can't get the job done and can't close on prom night. That's who we are. We can't close because we sit up here, we get to the dance, we ask the pretty girl, and you know what? She'll look over at that big guy sitting over there with the tattoo sitting over up on his daggone face, and she'll dance with him because she knows he can protect her. We can't protect Wisconsin. We can't do nothing. We are soft, man. It's our fans.
I want to put on what you're saying here. There is, like, one of the things that we get a lot is if the national media is not talking about us, or yep. If like Colin Cowherd for some reason says something stupid, we're all like, oh, and then when he says something good, we're all like, can you believe they're talking about Wisconsin this way?
Well, they're talking about it today. They're talking a lot about the Packers
Cowherd,
and the Rodgers.
Who's the one that had our Twitter account last week when Colin Cowherd ranked the Packers number one on the power rankings, and somebody tweeted it out like it was like we won the Super Bowl on our station account.
We're like a cheap date, man. I'm telling you, you give us a little love and attention. Oh my God, we go crazy about it. Why can't we have this mindset, mm-hmm. Wisconsin versus everybody? Why can't we just be us?
Let's be us.
Why can't we just demand that our? And wait a minute, Bart, you're an owner, man. I'm at you right now, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to call Antonio Brown yourself.
You need to say something. You need to get up out here and
you're right.
No, I'm serious.
I'm just resting on my laurels. Mayan activity.
Why say that you're proud to be an owner when you can't even do anything?
Yeah, you couldn't even get a Snacks Harrison.
Mark Murphy is ruining this team. Like Ryan said, he just wants to fill the tickets. He wants to sell tickets.
Yep.
He wants to sell memorabilia. This guy does not want to
win. They can't keep me quiet any longer. I am the owner. I am the only owner with a microphone. I demand change.
Look at what we're doing right now. Look at what we're doing right now. We are literally looking like pansies, bro, because you're playing around, and this is serious. These guys don't want to win, Bart. This is how we are looked at as a
you
small
and me want to win.
Place. Come on, man. You don't want to win, man. As a guy that sits back and watch this team and watch our teams day in and day out, you really cannot sit up here and tell me that you've done everything in your power.
I complain about the draft after victories.
It's not about the draft. We did what we had to do.
No,
fire Mike Patton today. Stop being a coward. Fire Mike Patton today.
Fire Mike Patton. Fire him. Night. Carl, I got to let you go, but I enjoyed talking to you.
I do too.
See you later.
I think Bart's the reason Melissa Etheridge is the only musical act we could get in Green Bay.
So I like Melissa Etheridge. Big deal.
Come to my window. How about go to the draft and get Patrick Queen, you idiot.
Ryan Watts next.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, we are dissecting, like a frog in biology class, this loss.
I never got to do that.
You know, I never did either.
I would never want to do that. I don't like cutting into things.
Yeah.
Does that make me a snowflake or whatever? I don't know. I've never, remember?
You won't cut a frog like a real man.
My buddies, when we were at Western, got into this weird stage where the only thing that was ever on our TV, if it wasn't sports, was like the G4 network. With Olivia Munn, but they also like to watch like surgeries for some reason. So I'd come home and it'd be like some guy's brain being operated on. Just never really into that.
What kind of drugs were they on?
Molly? Could I say that on air?
I think that's the answer.
Shrooms?
there you go.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm going to tell you, Woody, just my quick synopsis of this game, and then I want you to jump off that. So I think that this was a bad game, and if they play it again, it's going to have a different result. It certainly turned with those interceptions. I don't like that after the interceptions, the Packers seem to forget how to play football. I think a disturbing trend is these losses with Matt LaFleur do seem similar in that if they get beat up a little bit early to a good team, they are going to kind of throw in the towel. I think there's still some moves that they could have made, should have made, that caught up with them. I think this right now where they're at is they're going to beat the bad teams, they're going to lose to the good teams, and this year is going to play out like last year. That's kind of where I'm at today.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to agree on every point, Mark, but that's pretty much how I saw it. You know, a year ago when they went to San Francisco and they lost by 29 points, I don't know about you, but I kind of got the sense that, you know, this team really is 29 points worse than the 49ers. Like that team was a lot better than the Packers. And sure enough, they proved that later in January. I get the Bucks aren't 28 points better than this Packers team. Yesterday, there's some really fluky stuff that happened. And like you said, it was not a great sign that they handled adversity about as poorly as you could possibly handle adversity. I mean, they just disintegrated on both sides of the ball. That's something that can't happen to championship teams. But it's also something that in your fifth game of the year, it's not the worst thing to have that experience and to realize that, hey, everything's not going to go perfect all the time, and you have to be mentally stronger than what you showcased yesterday. So, to me, it's the problem isn't what happened yesterday. The problem would be if they didn't respond well from it. And they're pretty fortunate that they have Houston coming up next, and that's a good opponent to rebound against. that it's a difference between a one game anomaly and the start of a new trend. And to me, I think we'll look back at this as more of a one game anomaly than the start of a new trend.
Ryan, let me ask you a question. Maybe you could tell me if I'm crazy, because I get that you're playing from behind in the second half and that the first half ends up being a disaster. But I felt like I was watching a Mike McCarthy coach team yesterday with Aaron Rodgers dropping back, and they blitzed him 17 times, and he was off all day. And then you look at the running game, and it obviously was not Aaron Jones' day. He gets 10 carries, averaged about a yard a carry. But you look at what A.J. Dillon was doing on just five carries. He had a six-yard average, 31 yards on just five carries. Jamal Williams, 34 yards on just four carries, rips off a 25-yard run, and then we don't see him again. Do you feel like maybe they abandoned the run? I get you're playing from behind, but do you think maybe they abandoned the run a little bit too quickly and, I mean, should have went with more of a power running game against Tampa Bay yesterday?
I don't know if you have much of a choice when you're down 28-10 at halftime. You know, to me, obviously the interceptions was the turning point of the entire game. They're up 10-0 and then it's 14-10 down in about 5 minutes, right? But another huge critical moment in that game is when the Packers were kind of on the ropes, and I made the analogy that they kind of seemed like a boxer that was dazed and just trying to get through the end of the round so they get to their corner. And they got the knockout punch with that touchdown with a minute to go in the second quarter, which made it a 28-0 second quarter, which made it 28-10 at halftime. You're down three scores then, and that just changes the game. If they could get out of that with just giving up 3 points, and instead of being down 28-10, just be down two touchdowns, 24-10, it's a big difference. The other part of that, they couldn't get much going against the Bucs' number one run defense. I mean, that defense entered yesterday giving up 58 rushing yards a game. Running it into the teeth of the league's top-ranked run defense when you're down three scores in the second half, that's not a great recipe. So I get why they did that. You know, they didn't have much of a choice. It did force them to abandon the game plan. And another big part of the game is, you know, I wonder if we learned yesterday that Tyler Irvin's one of the more important players on this team because of all the stuff he does. I mean, he doesn't show up in the box score. He's not a fancy football star.
The motion, though, on offense, I thought made a huge deal.
All those
deal,
motions,
right?
All those jet motions, I mean, they build their offense off of that. And that's where a lot of the deception comes from with what they present to defense. And they just didn't have that yesterday. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Matt LaFleur said that they've got to return to that and revisit that, because if you lose one player, it's not supposed to fall apart the way that it did. But it really fell apart with all the without all those jet motions.
Ryan Wood joining us, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. The turning point of the game, as you mentioned, clearly the interceptions. Rodgers asked about it after, and whether it was the interceptions or even when they're down 14-10, he had Lewis over the middle, whether Mercedes Lewis, you know, he's not the fastest tight end, or Rodgers missed it or whatever, whether he is too slow, you know, he blamed it on the wind. And I know these guys, you know, Tom Brady still hasn't admitted that he didn't know it was fourth down that last Thursday night. The wind, bad practicing, you know, every time they have a loss now, it's like, oh, we didn't practice well. I just don't like to hear that. I know he's not going to say, oh, I stared down Devontae and that's why I threw an interception. But this thing where they have a bad practice and it's coming off a bye and then they walk in and it's almost like you can tell based on the body language if they're going to lose this game or not pretty early. Why does that keep happening?
You know, the most interesting thing to me is I thought they looked pretty good in the first quarter. I mean, they dominated the clock. They were up 10-0. They were getting chunk plays. When they converted a 3rd and 7, they converted a 3rd and 10. They had 20 yards on a 3rd and 10. A year ago, this offense had no chance in 3rd and long, and they were picking them up. They looked pretty good in that first quarter, and Aaron Rodgers after the game was like, no, you know, there was no rhythm even in the first quarter. Even up 10-0, you know, all the big plays were off schedule, and they didn't feel good even then. And I mean, he would know better than I because he's on the field and he's in the actual rhythm of the game. But it looked pretty good in that first quarter, and it just seemed like everything turned on a pick six that, was about the most shocking, least expected thing that you would have possibly thought you'd see when he dropped back for that pass. Because if you know anything with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw picks, right? But he never throws a pick six. And that was only third pick six of his career. So, you know, I thought that was interesting that he said that they didn't feel like they were in great rhythm even before building that 10-0 lead. You know, bottom line, they can't fall apart the way they did on both sides of the ball. Offensively, they didn't score again after that play, and defensively, it's an issue. I think this defense is better than the 2011 defense, but more and more the differences between those two defenses are growing less and less, because just like 2011, there's going to come a time when this offense isn't going to be able to carry the day. It's rare that you see one side of the ball for any team in any year have just perfection throughout an entire season and not have stumbling blocks. It's going to happen. In those moments, you need the other side of the ball to actually step up and be able to hold the water. And this defense has been asked so little through the early part of the season to do that, and any time it's been asked to do that, it's basically been unable, and that's a bad sign for this defense.
What do you give to the theory, a lot of tweets on this, calls on this, that the offense sputters because Rodgers focuses too much on getting Devontae the football? Not that they're better without him, but it disrupted the rhythm on Sunday.
You know, I don't know if that's something that we can conclude in one bad game. I think that it's possible. To me, it's just too small of a sample size to say, yes, this is definitive. They clearly struggle because he gets the ball to Devontae too much. And the reality is that he has spread the ball around quite a bit more. I mean, even early, you know, in week two, Devontae Adams wasn't getting the ball much when he was on the field after that opener, and he was spreading the ball around. And then obviously Devontae Adams had the injury and hadn't been back since the second half of that week two game against the Lions. So I think it's too early to definitively say that. I think that last year it was more of an issue. You would certainly see that throughout last season. This season, it's just, haven't seen it enough.
I think that, you know, Devontae's great. He's too good. You know, he's too good. He's too good of a player. The notion that you're better without him, I think, is a wrong one. But, you know, they were looking good. I think they just played a better defense. I think they played a defense that had a cornerback that could shut him down. Packers' second option has been Aaron Jones. They had linebackers that could shut him down. You know, this deep ball thing to MVS, they don't seem to have any chemistry there. Anytime he throws it deep to MVS, either MVS isn't going to complete the route or not going to catch the football. It's clear to me they need another weapon on offense. I don't see where that weapon comes from.
Now, this is why through four games, when there was a lot of guffawing about, oh, look, they didn't need to draft a receiver in the first round. Look how great this offense was. They're scoring, they're getting a lot of yards, but just wait till they play a really good defense and see if that's an issue or not. And I think that the talent discrepancy at receiver is still very, very real. I think that what you thought of the receiving position in April, it hasn't really changed. And that doesn't mean that this team, it's not necessarily a fatal flaw. Like, this team can still win a Super Bowl. It is still very, very good. The scheme has a lot of strengths. The quarterback, other than yesterday, has played very, very well. There's still a lot of star power on both sides of the ball, frankly. I mean, the defensive star power hasn't shown up the way that you'd expect, but it still is there. With that said, the talent discrepancy at receiver is very, very real. So it is something that they're going to have to figure out when they do go against the better defenses.
Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Appreciate your hard work. We will talk on Thursday.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying For a home renovation loan and you're feeling a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you next.
I think the big turnaround was obviously, you know, they came out pretty quick start, and we kind of hung in there, and then Dean made his play, and that kind of changed the whole momentum, I thought, in the whole stadium. Came right back with another one, knock it in, get the lead, and, you know, I thought our offense, you know, as a team, I don't think we had any penalties, don't think we had any sacks, and don't have any turnovers. We're going to be hard to beat. And so we kind of set a new standard for ourselves in that regard against a quality opponent, and we're just able to get after Aaron. You know, and once we got the running game shut down, it was just a matter of getting after him. And Todd did a great job with multiple looks and coverages.
Bruce Arians, who is overrated because of the type of hat he wears. Not joking. Totally the truth. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the Fan. You know, when we talked to some of these guys last week from Tampa Bay, we asked them if the Packers have been averaging some 35 points a game. So if they're going to put up 30 points against Tampa, what will have happened defensively? How will they have broken down? You know, I was hoping for 30 points. I figured, you know, the Packers would score mid to high 20s. I didn't think they'd end up with just 10 points from the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles did scheme very well against Aaron Rodgers. They brought the pressure. Meanwhile, on the other side, Mike Pettine brought very little of it, and Rodgers clearly was frustrated and flustered. Those two words I tried to combine, and now I've separated them. And it got to them. So the Packers let this one get away relatively early, that second quarter, 28 points, and they could not crawl back. Mike is in South Milwaukee. Mike, you got a bunch of notes for us today?
Hey. No. I think we're just way out of rhythm. And it started from the play calling. Once we had playing from behind the sticks, you know, you just couldn't get in a good rhythm. That defense was good. And sitting on a out pattern on a third and 10, that's, you know, pretty easy to do, you know, when you're struggling and playing from behind. Just no rhythm. It sucked.
Is that you've been on hold for like 45 minutes. Is that all you wanted to say?
Thanks.
No, that's all you wanted to say?
Well, their defense wasn't playing right.
Oh, I just want to make sure, because you gave us a good hour of your time. I want to make sure it was worth your while.
Hey, I was just painting and listening to the show, and I sat on the phone waiting.
Okay. What are you painting today?
Yeah, it was a house inside.
Oh, all right.
Some walls up.
All right. Well, thank you
for the show.
Yeah. Thanks for contributing. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for not being so condescending.
See you, Mike.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. Mike, South Milwaukee, painting up a house today. KJ is in West Allis. KJ, what's up?
Oh, that's me? Oh, hey. Hello, Brothers. How you doing?
Are you making fun of Mike?
No, man. I wouldn't make fun of Mike. Mike is a great caller.
What's up?
So anyway, yesterday's game, a lot of people think that was an anomaly. The way it happened, Bart, is probably an anomaly. It's probably not going to happen that way if you play 10 times. But I do think they would lose the majority of the games simply because it's a recurring thing with the Packers. You know what their Achilles heel is. It's that if a team has a running game, they have a problem. If a team has a tight end, even if it's Rob Gronkowski, who's way over the hill, I mean, he's so slow, but yet he was open all day. He killed them. And the other thing is a speed defense. It's the same thing we saw last year when they played the 49ers. They had a good running game. They had a tight end. And they don't know how to defend it. I don't know if it's Mike Pettine's defense or whatever it is. And they're pretty – once you shut down the running game, like the head coach for Tampa Bay just said, you know, the only focus you really have to have offensively with the wide receivers is on Adams. I mean, because that's the only real weapon that they have at this point. I mean, they should have, like you always say, Bart, they should have done better in the draft.
Thank you.
They should have got a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They should have helped the defense. They don't have a linebacker that can cover a tight end. And tight ends killed them. It wasn't the wide receivers that hurt the Packers yesterday. It was the tight end. It was Gronkowski. I mean, he was the focal point of their offense with Brady. And the fact that they got beat in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I mean, you let Brady sit back there and eat avocado ice cream while he was waiting for Gronkowski to get open. And, you know, Rodgers was running for his life the whole game. So, I mean, that was a difference in the whole ball game right there. And the fact that, you know, I will say it was an anomaly that Rodgers threw those picks. He almost threw three picks. It should have been three picks, really.
Almost four, if I'm thinking right.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, that was something that has been an issue, not the picks, but the fact that they have a problem with quick, you know, fast defenses and strong defenses up front, front four, and the linebackers have always given the Packers a problem, you know, schematically when they rush Rodgers. You know, it seems like they're taken out of rhythm, you know, and, of course, all that pre-snap motion, you know, just went away in the second half. You know, I guess it's they're blaming it on not having, what, Tyler Irving? So, you know, I mean, teams are going to look at that. They're going to scheme for the Packers. I'm a little concerned about the Bears' defense. Khalil Mack is playing out of his mind again, and he's always had a bullseye for Rodgers. So, I mean, they can't overlook the Bears in their own division. You know, I could see if they lost like that, Bart, to a team maybe like the Kansas City Chiefs or Baltimore Ravens or one of those other teams like that. But you lose to an NFC opponent like that, it's not a good sign.
I think what bothers me, KJ, aloha and thank you. I think, you know, all the things, they were 13-3 a year ago, a game away from the Super Bowl, and we noticed there was a lot of things that they still maybe needed to get over the hump. You needed another weapon on offense. Packers didn't have that, and so when Davante Adams got shut down, there's really nobody else to go to. You needed better depth on your offensive line. Packers went out and got Rick Wagner, who was an absolute sieve when he was out there replacing David Bakhtiari. Packers needed some more strength at the inside linebacker position, and it was Rob Gronkowski's retired, out-of-shape body coming back in and really chewing you up over the middle. Packers needed more of a defensive rush interior. They needed better guys on the defensive line. And it's Ronald Jones running for 113 yards. Everything that they need, every weakness they have, the Buccaneers exploited all of it. And the Rodgers stuff, Rodgers, that's what I don't get, Horvath. This guy's an MVP candidate. He's playing as well as he's ever played.
He was an MVP candidate. That's over.
And then he throws a couple of interceptions and he just forgets how to throw. I mean, you watch some of these other younger quarterbacks where they throw a couple of picks early and then they're kind of rattled. Who was this happening to yesterday in an early game? He threw a couple of interceptions.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
God, did he suck yesterday.
Oh, who was it?
I wish that could make me feel any better.
I'm going to make sure that I talk about this now.
Did they end up winning the game? That would help me.
I think it was Joe Burrow. It wasn't Joe Burrow.
Oh, he was awesome yesterday.
Ah. Damn. Maybe it was Joe Burrow.
What's the...
I'm sorry to get hung up on this.
No, I can help you if you just... So they threw a couple early picks?
There was one drive where he threw incomplete twice in the red zone, and then he converted on third down.
I don't know if it'd be Joe Burrow. He was on fire in the first half. Maybe, well, Baker sucked all day. Garoppolo was money all night.
It would have had to be
Jared
Burrow.
Goff was terrible yesterday. Tua came
you know what?
In.
It was a college game.
Okay.
It was
Alabama?
It was Bennett Stinson or whatever the hell his name is. Bennett Stetson.
Stetson, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So he had some, that's what I'm thinking of. He had some risky plays, and then in the end zone, he was putting too much on his balls.
Yeah. Just let it go.
He was putting too much on his passes.
Yep.
And because he's a younger quarterback, he was like so worried about throwing a pick that he didn't want to make the same mistake again, and it seemed like that's what Rodgers did.
Yeah, I mean, also, you didn't get okay, so I'm going to get on the wide receiver thing again because our good buddy Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus actually just tweeted this out. Packers wide receivers not named Devontae Adams yesterday. 67 snaps, 4-9 targets, 48 yards, 2 first downs. So, I mean, you need another playmaker. Like, I hate to keep – I'm not even talking about this year's draft. I'm not
we
even talking about guys
talking
like Debo Samuel. You need
if
slot –
if you guys would admit it.
You need slot receivers with speed.
Admit it.
We kept saying, well, hey.
We need another weapon. Admit it.
You don't need 4-3 speed because you got MVS. Well, MVS can't hang on to the football, and his route running is not the best. You could say you don't need another slot receiver because you're getting EQ back. I promise you, EQ is not a slot wide receiver. He's another big, tall target. You need a Debo Samuel 6'2", 6'3", burner out of the slot. Justin Jefferson, who caught 110 balls out of the slot last year at LSU. My favorite stat ever. And I hate this idea that you were able to trade up for Jordan Love, but you wouldn't have been able to trade up for a Justin Jefferson if you wanted in the first half, because or in the first round, because you would have been able to. I'm not even talking about the draft anymore. I'm just saying, yeah.
How about this? I'll stop talking about the draft if you admit that I was right about the draft. That's all I need. All I need is for you to admit that I'm right, and I'll stop talking about it.
Like Bob Tonyan, MVS, Tyler Irvin, these are nice weapons against teams with young, inexperienced, beat-up cornerbacks like the Minnesota Vikings. Or if you catch the Saints on an off night like you did. Because the Saints' secondary does concern me a little bit. Great pass rush, but their secondary, you know, they have off nights. I mean, look what the Niners did to them last year with Jimmy Garoppolo torching them for 400-plus. So the thing that concerns me is when you play a team like Tampa Bay, though, and they have fast linebackers, quick linebackers, like they're able to take Aaron Jones out of the game plan. And he's so important to this offense because then you have to rely on your receivers and they don't create, like nobody was open yesterday. That's why is he forcing things to Devontae? Because he had one-on-one coverage a couple times and you didn't, oh, sorry.
Scooty McFastington tweeting, here we go again on the draft. Scooty, tweet me again, admit that I'm right and I'll stop. If you don't admit I'm right, I'm going to keep doing it until you admit it. That's the game we're going to play. What I am right about is window select. 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Check them out, windowselect.com. Window Select, where you can get a buy one, get one deal on the windows. I'm going to tell you the deals first. Buy one, get one on the windows. All the windows you buy, then you get another free one. Buy the windows, one, then you get one free. They'll also do your siding and your doors for you, and you don't have to pay anything for 12 months. So very affordable. You don't have to pay a thing, all right? And free installation when you get it set up this week. Get it on the books when you're ready to do it. Again, you don't have to pay anything for a full year. Free installation this week. They're going to come and do the job for you for free. And you don't have to pay them anything for 12 months. And you get to buy one, get one on the windows. Now, their windows, they'll stack them up against anybody. Energy efficient, high quality. They spent a lot of time working on these. That shop in Menominee Falls has been there for decades. They've been curating the best windows when it comes to sturdy and quality and professional, all that kind of stuff. And then the energy efficiency, that's going to help you save a bunch of money on heating and cooling your home throughout the year. A lot of these older homes have older windows that's basically just, you know, a sheet of glass, the first piece of glass they could find. These windows are actually designed to keep the air in. It's not just some random glass from a trash yard. These are designed, the whole point of the window is to keep your home cool or warm, depending on what kind of air you're trying to keep in it. Check them out, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. We're back in 90 seconds. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM. You can hit us up on the radio.com app as well. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Lots to get to in the 9 o'clock hour. The excuses that Aaron Rodgers had for some of his throws, I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish on that one. Why is Matt LaFleur so bad after the bye week? Plus, Rodgers, when he thought he scored, had a celebration
that maybe you were confused by what he was doing, we have the answer for you. So if you wondered, why is Rodgers thrusting his hips like this? We certainly have the answer for you. So plenty to come in the 9 o'clock hour. Do want to hear from you guys. It is commercial free. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Real quick, Horvy, this loss, is it an anomaly or is it a trend? Rodgers thought it was more of an anomaly and not quite a trend. So in a vacuum, I look at this loss and I'm like, all right. I mean, the interceptions clearly turned the game. But the trend is that when the Packers under Matt LaFleur lose, they lose pretty handily. And then LaFleur in the press conference is like, oh, I got all coached. And Rodgers is like, oh, we practiced bad. That seems to be a trend to me that I don't think can continue if they're going to do what we want them to do, and that's win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's just too tough. I need to just see what happens next week. I do. I could already tell you this. I know the bet I'm going to place next week. I am going to hammer the over. The Texans yesterday gave up about 500 yards of offense to Tennessee. The Packers' defense didn't look tremendous. Green Bay, this line, though, for next week is fishy to me. Granted, so the Packers are coming off a loss. They're on the road. But only 3-point favorites against a 1-5 Texans team?
Green Bay almost beat Tennessee.
I know. That was my lock of the week, too. Them to cover the 4 and they lose by 6. I just wanted Tennessee to kick that field goal. Tannehill's... You may have been right about Tannehill. I thought it was all off play action last year.
Yeah, Tannehill's good.
Derrick Henry, I want to do MVP race so you could throw... I just lost $100 yesterday. Rodgers ain't winning anymore. Russell Wilson, number one. But give me Derrick Henry at number two. When is a running back won MVP last? AP?
Could the Titans have the 1-2 for MVPs, Henry and Tannehill? I think I'm going to root for the Titans.
I just
love Ryan Tannehill.
Just a tough day for me as a football fan, by the way. My Browns also get clubbed yesterday.
Yeah.
Awful.
Too many people take joy in the Browns losing. I don't get it. More next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.